Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nach Yomi, with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Dina Rabinovich, and today we will be studying Sefer Tehillim Perek Samech Gimel. Many is the time that David has sought refuge in Midbar Yehuda, so that the koteret or title, which opens this mizmor to give context, doesn't really help us, because there are so many times when he is fleeing to Midbar Yehuda for safety. Is this mizmor about the time that David was running from Shaul and sought refuge in Midbar Yehuda? In fact, God the Navi tells him to return to Midbar Yehuda when David has run with his family to Moab. Or was it when David was forced to abandon Yerushalayim during Merit Avshalom? The first series of events would have occurred when David was in his late 20s, since he was 30 when Shaul died and became king over Shevet Yehuda. The second series of events happened toward the end of David's life when he was in his 60s. He died at 70, and Merit Avshalom was in the last few years of his life. Whichever event the Mizmor is alluding to, it is clear that both times David is experiencing the same emotions, a feeling of banishment and betrayal by his family, and a yearning for safety. Since the time or the situation is not referenced, it is clearly the location that is important, and that is what we will focus our discussion on. What does a midbar represent? Why is it a natural place for David to run? By definition, a midbar is a desert that has a lot of sand and sun and little in the way of food or water. A parched and weary land that has no water. Because there is so little to distract you, you can focus on priorities. In fact, it is for this reason that the first Gilui Shechina, the divine revelation, the theophany that Moshe had with the snare, with the burning bush, was in the desert. It was also the reason that Bnei Israel received the Torah in the desert. Being in a desert forces us to ask the question, what do you really need to survive? Food and water. And if we reduce it even further, what we really need is the chen v'chesed of Hashem. And that is what David is saying, Ki tov chastecha mechayim. Your loving kindness is better than life. When God provides the chesed, when he provides the ezra, the help, when he allows David to take refuge, betzel kenaf vecha, in the shadow of his wings, David feels safe and loved and is able to sing his praise of Hashem. Sfatai yeshabchuncha, my lips will praise you. B'shimcha esachafai, I lift my hands in your name. V'sivtei renanot yehalel pi, my mouth will sing praises with joyful lips. He has the sustenance that he needs. Kimo chelev v'deshen tizba nafshi, my soul will be nourished as with a rich feast. Or in the words of the Malbim, who asks, what's the connection between Sam'alacha nafshi, my soul thirsts for you, be'ertziya va'ayef b'limayim, in a parched and weary land that has no water? And the Malbim answers, even though the land is parched and weary, and body and soul desire nothing more than water, ani enit sama lamayim, I'm not thirsty for water, rak lecha anit same v'nafshi shokeka. I only desire you, God, I am thirsty for you, and my soul is yearning. All David HaMelech desires is a connection to Hashem. The Midbar is seen not as a location identified by what it does not have, but by what it does have. And the conclusion of the Mizmor is HaMelech Yismach BeElokim, the king will rejoice in God. On the one hand, this phrase is ironic, since both events we considered as possibilities for the backdrop of this Mizmor are specifically times when David is not quite king. When running away from Shaul, David has been anointed privately as king, is acting as king by leading the army into battle, but is not officially the king. He has not been accepted as king by all of Bnei Israel. And when David is running away from Absalom, he abdicates the throne in Yerushalayim. Yet the phrase is not ironic, since it conveys the total faith and confidence that David has in Hashem. If it will be the will of God, the Ritzon Hashem, David will return as king, v'hamelech yismach be'elokim, and the king will rejoice in God. The Mizmor is an individual lament, where the Mishorer is crying out to Hashem in his time of need. He will offer a complaint, and then a request, and then we will see the trust he has in Hashem. Let's look at it line by line, not necessarily in the context of David running away from his enemy, but to understand the words. Pasuk Aleph, Mizmor le David, Bihoto, Bimidbar Yehuda. A David psalm when he was in the wilderness of Yehuda. Pasuk Bet, Elohim, Keliata, Ashacharecha, Tzam Alecha Nafshi. My throat thirsts for you. Kama lecha vesari, my flesh yearns for you, be'ertzia va'ayef b'limayim, in a land waste and parched with no water. Every morning I greet you, Hashem, with praise and thanks. And now I'm trying to understand you, Hashem, says the Sforno about this pasuk. What does he want? Pasuk Gimel. Ken bakodesh chaziticha, in the kodesh, in the holiness, I beheld you, lirot uzcha uchvodecha, to see your strength and your glory. As king, to better understand your malchut, this is similar to what Moshe Rabbeinu asked for in the wake of Cheta Egel. Hareini na et kvodecha. Please, Hashem, show me your kavod. How did you, Hashem, says the Sforno, how did you, totally and spiritual, totally separated from all forms of physicality, how did you come to create the physical world? Ki tov chastecha mechayim pasuk dalet svatai yeshapchuncha. For your kindness is better than life. My lips praise you. You made man with a seichel, with understanding. And therefore, using that understanding, I wish to understand you more, says the Sforno. As an aside, this phrase can also refer to the Midrash that suggests the reason why Avraham died at age 175 instead of 180, like Yitzchak did. That this was a chesed Hashem did for him to take away the last 5 years of his life so he would not see his grandson Esav starting to kill Ratzach, to commit avodah zarah and niyuv, adulterous relationships, fulfilling to Avraham the promise Hashem made, tavo el avotecha v'shalom, when it comes your time to join your fathers to die, it will be in peace, b'shalom. We can also look at the last two psukim through the lens of Rav Hirsch. Even now, in the midst of isolation, my spirit perceives you. I become aware of your nearness, which pays me for all I have lost, and gives blissful gratification to my body and soul. In a like manner, I had already come to see you in the Migdash, where I saw your oz and kavod in everyday life. I have come to know God not only now when I lost everything, but when I moved freely in the midst of my country and learned in the Migdash to look to him, to seek all my physical welfare and spiritual life from his. And he has girded me with victorious majesty. It is God's chesed that gives life its true value, so that even now, when I'm in the midst of want and distress, I experience all that which I had learned to perceive when happiness and abundance were mine. Although deprived of physical comfort and sustenance, my soul and body long only for God and yearn to experience his blessed nearness. The next two psukim can refer to a bracha we get when reciting Shema and Shmona Esrei. Rabbi Eliezer says, one who recites both Shema and Shmona Esrei will live in two worlds, Olam Hazeh, this world, and Olam Haba, the world to come. And we see this from the Pasuk Hey, Ken Avarechacha Vechayai B'Shimcha Esachafai, I bless you while I live, in your name I lift up my palms. B'Shimcha Esachafai refers to saying Shema, and in the next Pasuk, Kumo Chelev Vadeshen Tisba Nafshi, with a ripest repast my being is sated, V'siftei renanot yahalel pi, with lips of glad song, my mouth declares praise, and siftei renanot yahalel pi refers to reciting Amidah Shmona Esrei. Rav Hirsch says, continuing with his theme, in the barren midbar, when I lift my soul to you and become aware of your nearness, I cease to be in the desert. I no longer feel hunger or thirst. I become satisfied with rich abundance as in days gone by, and my mouth proclaims the fame of God's acts with the joyous sound of my lips. To me, the strength and joyous exaltation which I am granted, even in this isolated state, is another act of God. A halal which I proclaim in words of song. Pasuk Zayin. Im zachartiha al yetzuai ba'ashmurot egevach. I recalled you on my couch in the night watches I dwelled upon you. I would remember you, Hashem, during my sleep and would cling to you. And when I awoke, I would utter glad song of the next pasuk. Pasuk chet ki hayita ezrata li uvetzel kenafecha aranen. For you were a help to me, and in your wings' shadow I uttered glad song. Rav Hirsch, in former days I remembered you while I rested upon a soft and luxuriant couch, recalling how you had been near us in the past. Now during my nightly vigil, lying upon rocks in the middle of a desert without even a bare couch on which to recline, I meditate upon your nearness, which you show me even at this hour. Pasuk Tet. Davkanav she'acharecha b'tamcha yeminecha. My being clings to you. Your right hand has sustained me. Whatever life may bring, says Rav Hirsch, I will not allow anything to cause me to waver in my striving to follow God. I sense that your right hand is holding me fast. And as we noted in a previous mizmor, the Yad Yamin of Hashem refers to his might and power. Pasuk Yud Vehema l'sho'a yivakshu nafshi, for they disaster have sought my life, yavo'u b'tachtiyot ha'aretz, may they plunge to the depths of the earth. Even though I've been forsaken by men, says Rav Hirsch, I rejoice in the serene vigor of life and in God, who is even nearer to me now than before. In the meantime, those who have brought me to this state of destruction and desolation, who believe that they have delivered me up to my destruction, but they might have triumphed for the moment, they will go down. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Yagiruhu, Al Yedei Charev, Minat Shualim Yiyu, may their blood be shed by the sword, may they be served up to the foxes. Vamelch Yismach Belokim, Yitalel Kol Hanishba Bo, Ki Sacher Pi Dovrei Shaker, the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by him will revel, for the mouth of the liars is muzzled. As for Shaul, says Rav Hirsch, as for Shaul, let him rejoice in Hashem, let everyone glory who acknowledges David's majesty. David makes a distinction between Shaul, whose hostility was attributed to melancholia, and to Shaul's people, who exploited their master's mental illness in order to incite him against David. David does not bear a grudge against Shaul and those who are sincerely loyal to him. In this lament, David was in the desert crying out to Hashem in his time of need, complaining of the situation, requesting Hashem's help, and knowing it will come. And perhaps the most remarkable part is his ability to identify who the real enemy is and to assign the blame to those who deserve it. Thank you for studying. Li'uli Nishmat Sonia Finkelstein, Chana Sara Bat Chaim Leib.